We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, Reality Check Master Tiffany Meeks.
Hey.
Chat's digging
Let's
you.
Let's go.
Chat's happy.
Everybody's happy. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be back with G.
We're good. We have tons to talk about today. We got Chat's mad, saying Riley fell asleep at the wheel. Pride by Pack says my Heat Beat family getting nervous hearing run it back too many times. I don't know who's saying run it back. Certainly not Tiff and I. You are not going to hear run it back from us. But obviously, guys, by the way, let me thank you guys for what you guys did during Pride this week. You guys came out really strong. Our donation link, by the way, is still live. It's in chat. I'll put it in the pod description. As well, we raised almost $2,500 in one night with several auctions, including what I think most Heat fans would want is the Dan Le Vitard experience. You get to meet the shipping container, tour the studios on South Beach, and sit in on an episode of the Mystery Crate podcast and be a part of it. You know, give you a little shout out. You could be a part of maybe the biggest sports media conglomerate around and truly the most Miami thing around other than us, of course. So, you know, be on the lookout for that on our eBay, on our Twitter page at MIA Heat Beat on Twitter. And the donation link is still live for anybody who wants to contribute to the One Pulse Foundation. They partner with us and we are matching up to $2,000 to Pride for Youth as well, which is a great charity that Tiff introduced us to up in New York. So, you know, guys, thank you so much for that support. And as we transition into basketball, Tiff, so Jeremy Grant goes for like a whole lot of nothing.
Right.
Goes to Portland. Congrats to Dame, I guess. What was like, I think Heat fans were like really upset because they really wanted him. I think you and I were pretty chill about the whole thing.
Yeah. First of all, there's like two tweets to kind of flesh out the trade. And I'll be honest, I wasn't reading all that. Congratulations to Dame or sorry for your loss, Dame. I think Pat was in the car. I just don't think he was. I just think he was just driving.
Didn't miss his exit.
I don't think he fell asleep at the wheel. I think he was just test driving it to see what it looked like. I mean, Jeremy Grant, he's a nice young piece, but I would assume if you didn't jump on that, you got your head out the window in a different direction.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
I also think that, like, I mean, Portland really got like draft equity a better mm-hmm. about like the same draft equity, a better pick really, and a future pick than they would have gotten from Miami. And they don't have to take money back in Duncan,
right.
which I think for a team that has been in salary cap hell for a long time, it's convenient. And I think people have to understand something about Miami that's different than a lot of teams. When other teams are over the cap, it's more complicated for them because they're not a destination where Jimmy Butler says, I want to go to Portland. That doesn't happen. Like, you know, these stars don't want to go to these middle markets a lot of the time.
Right.
Miami is one. So Miami gets to trade for these guys often, right? Because these stars have like a lot of control over where they go. So for Miami to have a contract like Duncan and Portland to have a contract like Duncan, it's very different. And right. every team has to approach team building in the way that is best for them. So I think for Miami, you know, it made sense to, and by the way, I think with Grant Tiff,
mm-hmm.
he's more movable than Duncan. So even if I didn't like the on-court fit very much, you could just like right. flip him and repackage him. So I'm sure yeah. there was an interest, but at the end of the day, I mean, Portland really made out really good. And so did Detroit. You know, if they were going to move off of Jeremy Grant, I think that that's probably the best they could do.
Right. No, I agree. I also, like I said, I liked him, but like my needle wasn't moving for him. Like, I don't know. Seeing where this team was last year and what they needed, I don't know if he was that piece that's missing. Like, I can't look at him and go, oh, he could be it.
We need one like, of those.
Right. Like, I look at him and go, we need him and, you know, that's how I looked at it. Like, I would have welcomed him in combination with someone else.
So for me, Tiff, their problem last season was their half court offense. Cause I think their defense, mm-hmm. even through everything, their defense was awesome. Even mm-hmm. in the conference final, they would have moments where it would kind of look a little suspect, but they would always right the ship. And defensively, right. I thought that they were fine. Their offense was really where they struggled. I don't mm-hmm. think Jeremy's an upgrade over PJ defensively. And if you're playing Jeremy, I think playing Jeremy, PJ, Bam, and Jimmy is just a tall ask for your offense in that kind of spacing because Jeremy's mm-hmm. not the best like spot-up shooter. And if you're replacing PJ with Jeremy, which is a possibility, I like the move more, but I think you get a little worse defensively and you're only getting like marginally better offensively, even though Grant is like a better player than PJ Tucker, like, you know, quote-unquote. So I wasn't like in love with the fit, and I think that fans just wanted a move with a name to make them feel better that the front office right. is doing something. But sometimes it's the moves you don't make, and you don't have to kind of compromise your asset trove, you know, to do something right now.
Right, right. No, I agree. I like I said, I think if you know, Detroit was willing and the Heat didn't have to come up off of picks or go too far into the cupboard just to get him. Who knows? Maybe the Heat would have taken him. But I just think that for what they look like in the crunch time, I so much would rather have a dynamic guard.
Just and a scorer from the perimeter, I think.
Yeah, but in most times that's a guard. You know, like if you look around the league right now, mostly that's a guard that's shaping up, that's going to get downhill, can, you know, shoot from all areas of the floor, who can also just take. I think for me, with him just being the only one, why I just thought it would be okay, I didn't see him taking the offensive load off of Jimmy on a Tuesday night.
Oh.
So I didn't see that. But him in combination with someone else, maybe that works.
So I'm with you. I kind of think I'd like them to get a little scoring off the wings, right? Like kind of that 3-4 spot, like a perimeter-oriented guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like of that mold, just because I think theoretically you want Tyler to become that dynamic wing scorer. And I think Tyler fits the bill. I think he'll keep getting better. He's not, I know exactly what we're looking for, but I think they need a little. They're very thin at wing. I mean, it was really right. Jimmy, PJ, and no one else. So I kind of wanted like a scorer at that spot because I think they're pretty mm-hmm. deep at guard. With Gabe, Tyler, Kyle, Max, all these guys like Duncan, if he stays, you know, they have plenty of those guys. So,
right. No, I agree. I think it's interesting. They have While there seems like they're the market is open for business, they just have a lot of decisions to make about what's in their cupboard before they start shopping. Bless you.
I think it's pretty clear. Like, they're shopping Dunkin' the pick.
Oh, no, I don't mean like they're shopping Dunkin'. I'm saying like before they go buy the groceries.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah. No, okay. And I think that this was like a case of, I mean, honestly, like if they flip Dunkin', I mean, essentially, like, we have to remember the way Dunkin' was signed. Dunkin' was signed as an over-the-cap player. So if they either signed him for a lot of money or they lost him for nothing. If they were to flip Dunkin' for Jeremy Grant and 2020, you know, three cap space, that's a fucking win considering that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's why you sign players like him so that you can do moves like that. And while fans may say, I think that's an overpay. And I think that, like, they're right. Like, I think free agency, you always overpay for dudes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless
right.
it's like LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard or whatever. I mean, Jimmy Butler's going to be an overpay eventually. But, you know, right now he ain't. You know, Kyle's an overpay, but you overpay for a guy because you're in a win now window. You know, Bam was probably an overpay as well, but he was an underpay on his rookie contract. So it all kind of evens out. Tiff, their draft is tomorrow. I would imagine they don't. Do you think they keep the pick or do you think they use the pick?
I said in the chat earlier, I feel like one or two things will happen. They'll move back. Or they'll draft a player for someone else. Mm. While we know like they're very good in when it comes to developing players, bless you.
Thank you.
We know that. We know they're very good when it comes to developing players. But the thing is, do they want to draft someone now and stash him away and let him, you know, be a developmental project right now while they're so close to being where they really want to be?
It's kind of like the Warriors in a way where like they really have to, and they do a good job of kind of splitting the baby of how many young guys do we want to give chances to versus how many veterans do we want on the floor? Cause like, look, Kuminga was really good for them in the regular season. Didn't get a ton of important minutes in the playoffs.
Right.
Otto, you know, that's a vet that you trust in big moments and stuff like that. So I think sometimes these young guys get you through the season. I mean, listen, credit to guys like Gabe.
Played
big minutes for them. Max played big minutes for them. You know, Tyler and Duncan during their finals run played huge minutes for them. So I think that Miami does a good job of kind of splitting the baby on that. And, you know, as Kevin Arnovitz says, you know, grown men win championships. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, I think, too, if you look at it like – Summer League is around the corner. Like, they have some young guys that are going to be playing in Summer League that if we're saying, let's, you know, call up some young talent to kind of get us through a couple of dog days, they're right there.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I think for me, that's where I'm leaning. Like, if you if you say you want to give some time to Highsmith, Yurt, if you're going to call up Harry Potter for a little bit to see what he can give
you. Boy.
My boy, I've been waiting. So I feel like Smart, we still have Smart, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Javante. Yeah, so it's like, right, if you want to give some of these guys some run, I feel like they're in-house. Unless you see someone just drop that you've had your eye on, you know, for the last couple of weeks. Because then it's kind of like we had him on our board. There's no way he's going to fall, and all of a sudden he's in your lap. Then, yeah, you got to get that guy. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like if they are going to add someone, you got to add someone. You can't run it back. Not that I don't love these guys, but
you need to add or change it up.
You need fresh blood and you need points on, or change it up, but you need fresh blood and points on the board.
Yeah.
So you got to do something. So if you can play around with those four guys that you got, that'll be showing off in summer league. I kind of feel like you run with that and you try to add.
I kind of think that they're also not going to overreact because I think they know how close they were, and you know, they were a shot away, right? And they weren't just a shot away. They were a shot away, a season removed from making the finals, right? So they know that they're good, and they know whatever they do is around the margins. And if they can swing big for a piece like Beal or something, mm-hmm. you know that they will if that becomes available. Or like Grant, you know, we saw them kind of get in the mix. When really they have a really shitty pick and a guy who didn't play a lot of minutes who's on a lot of money, right? So, you know, they get in the room, right? And I mean, I think the LaMarcus Aldridge in 2012 is like one of the funniest, or 2015, whenever the hell that was, when they didn't have any money and LaMarcus Aldridge took a meeting with them. Because that's how they are. You know what I mean? So not that they'll get everybody, but they'll get in the room. They kind of do what they have to. And I think fans have to be patient and don't just do stuff to do stuff, because that typically doesn't go well. And we saw what doing stuff to do stuff happened in the summer, where they swung out on Gordon Hayward and everyone got mad. Right. So let's not, they've learned from their mistakes. And I think they know how good they are and what they need. The offense, certainly, I think, Tiff, we're in total agreement. The offense needs some fixing, or a little bit of juice, a little bit of mix up. PJ obviously was really good for them, and he's a question mark going forward. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that, by the way? What do you make of the PJ to Philly rumors?
It's not, I mean, him going to Philly has not been established, but the interest, it's there. I mean, you look at the breadcrumbs.
Maury, Harden.
Uh-huh. It's there. I think, I mean, obviously, I'd like to have PJ back. Like, that's a no-brainer. But I think more importantly, they just got to find a way to put points on the board. So if you can find a way to get someone that can put points on the board while keeping PJ, that's your Christmas right there.
That ticket's Duncan. I mean, the ticket's Duncan and whatever. I mean, a future pick or the pick now. I think they'd rather move the pick now because they know that the pick now is not very good. And I'm sure they.
Exactly.
And I think there's been reporting that they've been like mostly scouting in the second round anyway. So it's like they're kind of operating like what you said, either moving back or just, you know, not even using the pick, which is super. Listen, Riley said it. I think Riley has been on record in saying, I think you only need one draft pick every other year.
Right.
To build a team. And I'm not going to lie, he's largely been kind of right. So at least for his team, you know, not every team can operate like him, but.
I also think like we have to, like, there's a lot of names floating around who might want to trade, or, you know, who free agents and all these things. But like, I love just kind of like playing around with all these names just because they're big names and why wouldn't we want to have fun? But I'm also a will he fit kind of person, because sometimes it just doesn't work. And if you look at the crux of the team, who you know will remain, they're not the easiest guys to play with. And I don't mean on the court. I just mean personality-wise and all these things. All those things matter when you're trying to, like, create this team that can go, you know, that can make a deep playoff run. So you know, while we're enamored with all these names, we still have to be realistic and think, will this work with Jimmy and Bam?
I think, like, well, the other part of this is that, like, you...
Am I getting roasted in the chat for saying that?
No. Okay. No, I was trying to mute somebody who's just kind of troll. That's why I stopped for a second. But the thing with you said just, like, off the court stuff. I even think on the court, they're not, like, a difficult pick, they're kind of, like, a difficult duo to play with just because they don't shoot.
Right.
So that was my thing with Grant. And I think you got to be – they run a very fine line because they have a lot of – I don't want to call them one-dimensional players, but a lot of – they have a lot of guys with a lot of holes, and they run a very fine line to cover that. Tyler obviously helps their offense and their shooting, but his defense is, you know, not good. Jimmy, Bam, non-shooters, you know, stuff like that. So when you add another non-shooter to the mix – that makes it difficult, but you also need that guy to defend and stuff like that. So you have to balance this line, which I think they've done really, really well. But that's like why a guy like Jeremy Grant, I don't really love, or a guy or another big man who's like not the best shooter or like not the best defender. Because I think that, again, they walk a really fine line because of the construction. They have Jimmy and Bam are like a weird fit together. You know, they're two non-shoot. Your two stars are non-shooting stars. And they both are a little pass happy. So, you know, you really got to work around those parameters. And I think they have. I mean, they're obviously like a really good basketball team. But I think those are the things you got to keep in mind when you look at the offseason. Tiff, I want to get your thoughts on one thing because we're going to do kind of a short show today.
Okay. And I have one question for you before we get out of here.
Of course. Yeah. No, you want to do hit that first?
Yep.
Let's do it.
So somebody posed this to me and I want to bring it to you. What if... let's not talk about the numbers and how we can make it work. It's just a flat out question. What if you had to trade number 7 to get Harry B?
Number 7?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle? No, I mean, like that hypothetical, I don't really think. Yeah. I think.
Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically.
Don't like,
so just don't even just make how that doesn't make sense.
Yep.
I think it's certainly interesting. I think they give you different things. I think Harrison gives you a kind of scoring punch from the wing that you don't have. And I think he'll help them shoot better. Like, he's just a spot up shooter, not like a movement shooter, which I think helps Jimmy and Bam. The thing with Kyle that you lose is kind of the playmaking and having Jimmy off the ball. So I would probably say I would rather have Kyle then do that swap, just because I think we saw how good they looked when everybody was healthy and good to go. I do think a fair criticism to say is, hey, an older, physical, undersized point guard is going to struggle to stay healthy. Tiff, there's a lot of criticism lobbed at Kyle. I think a lot of it's non-justified. If that's your criticism and if that's your concern, I think that's a 100% valid concern. You're just like, that guy is a very physical, tough guy. And those guys undersized at his age tend to get hurt. And I'd agree with you. And I'd be like, that's a problem. And you're betting on his health. But when he's healthy, I just think he provides so much. As we saw, they were the one seed and stuff like that. So I'd probably say no, but I did have to think about it because I think what Barnes provides is really, really like the good fit. Last thing on that, I think during that playoff run, we saw them unlock Jimmy at the 4 next to real shooting. And that looked absolutely unstoppable. And when they can do that, that is just such a win for them. And that included PJ not playing. You know, they would just put Jimmy at the 4 with a bunch of shooters. They survived defensively because Jimmy and Bam are amazing. And Jimmy was absolutely scoring at will. So that's another thing when you think of when you add like a big kind of a big market 4 man.
Okay.
What would you do? Would you do that trade? I know you love your point guards, but I know that his age and his health are concerned.
I know. That's if you told me, because at that point we're not getting another one, but if you told me that Gabe would be at the next level, like his play would just ratchet up to the next level for next season, I would definitely be close to doing that. But you would have to tell me that Gabe is like, all of his numbers are going to just go up his effort, like, which is going to be hard for his defensive effort to get any better than what it already is.
He's at 1,000 miles an hour already.
Yeah, you. If you told me all those things could happen, I would think about it. But I like, see, but you brought up something that I like. I like Jimmy at the four. I know you can, we can't do it
full time
for extended, exactly. But I like Jimmy at the four.
And I think you need Kyle for that, because what you give up in size, he makes up in your backcourt. And as a rebounder, as a guy who boxes out and stuff like that. So I've always liked the Kyle fit. And I think when they were clicking, that looked at its best. And obviously when he got hurt, you know, it really, I mean, I think I even said it when he hurt his hamstring. I said, that's probably their season right there. Because, you know, you just cannot replace the way that they run their team without him. But that was an interesting thought exercise. So my question to you now is,
okay,
a lot of people want another big man to be on this team to play with Bam, particularly as a starter. And I think that's interesting for a lot of reasons, because people say that they don't want it for defense, because I think everybody agrees that the defense is fine. They want it to help their offense, right? And what I would say is, I don't see how adding another center makes Bam's offensive game better, because what they need is to get Bam in rolling actions more. Because I don't think he's just not a run from the perimeter kind of guy at volume. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. And I think when you add another big man, you make that a little bit more difficult, because now you're putting Bam in fewer screening options. Or you're just putting a big in the weak side, which could be good. But then on defense, because there's not a guy who's a really good defender and a good shooter.
Yeah, that would have to change Spo's entire defensive scheme.
And those guys just tend to get run off the floor. I mean, Al Horford, who was as good as he was, you know, him and Rob at the end of the Warriors series could not exist on the court together, because that's just how that goes, you know. So I'm curious as to you feel, because I know that you're somebody who really would appreciate the size and the toughness it would bring, but I'm kind of to the, they need a wing next to Bam, not a big, but I'm curious as to what you think as guy names like Christian Wood come off the board.
I mean, his defense was atrocious, so I'm good. I'm cool on that. could you imagine him switching out on like a guard?
Bro,
no,
Spo
I'm
would
good.
Hate those guys. The Spo?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm good. I'm good.
You gotta be a company man like Myers was.
I really personally think that I don't know a center right now that I'm just like, that's the guy. I think they are small, but the funniest thing is that a lot of times they found themselves small under the basket is because of transition defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they just stopped paying attention to detail. So by the time they got down the court, you had Max, Gabe, or Kyle on a center because they just weren't paying attention. So when it was time to match up, the guards always found themselves under the basket. So I feel like that's an easy fix. But what I would like to see this season, like, there's not really any bigs that I'm like, go get. And I feel like let's not waste a trade asset on a big that Spo's not going to want to play anyway. Like I just
Collins
don't think that makes
whatever.
Sense. Right. I just don't think it makes sense, because looking at what Spo's done over his career, he doesn't want to play two bigs. So I know that. So I'm not even on that wagon. What I would like to see is, like I said, maybe throughout the season, I mean, you may have to lose a game or two here or there, but like, let me get some Yurt minutes. Like, let's let him get in, let him be the big. And if you feel like, you know, Bam might need a rest, or let's say if PJ's back, he comes in and plays some of those minutes or whatever, but use what you already got.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to start Yurt, because he was good when he started, when Bam was out. But that Bam was out. When they're together on the floor, it looks sluggish.
It's cramped.
Yeah, there's no space. And he's still slow of foot. So these are things that he needs to work on. You know, he needs to work on getting a little bit quicker, making better decisions on the defensive end, moving laterally. Like, those are the things he needs to work on that I'm sure he'll work on in summer league, and then hopefully he'll get some minutes. And then, like I said, let my guy come up and get a couple of minutes here or there, Harry Potter, and see what you got.
Absolutely.
I don't think we need to be wasting picks on something that, you know, Spo doesn't want to work with in the first place.
I think people also feel like having Bam as a help defender is better than him on the ball. And I just have not seen that. I mean, obviously Bam's a good help defender, but I think Miami's strength is that. So if you put another big on the floor, that guy is typically going to probably be the one guarding screening actions. So now you're in a drop and you're just inviting pull-ups in a league where a lot of guys are really good at pull-ups.
Right.
Like,
right.
So you're basically taking guys out of plays, and you can load up on the ball like Miami does. But again, you're just, at the end of the day, you're just giving them an easier target, because right now it's like, if you have Bam, PJ and Jimmy, Kyle and Max on the floor, like, your option to the weak link is Max. And I think we saw, like, Max held up his own, but for the right run of the game, they're mostly going to screen with their centers because they need to involve their big men in their offenses. If not, they right get helped off of. So, you know, you just kind of want Bam in those actions because they right switch from a position of strength, not so much out of weakness. Right.
I just think your chances are better of like acquiring Bradley Beal than it is like and DeAndre Ayton. Like, you're not like Spo doesn't want anything to do with that.
I don't think so. And they've decided on what they want to do, I feel.
Right. Right.
With Chris Bosh.
Right. And I also just think that, like, you know, a complete summer with whomever's going to be on this roster, I think it'll do the defense wonders. You know, we had guys in and out. We had, you know, Vic played like 8 games. So it was just kind of like weird. I mean, they rose above it, but it was still kind of weird how it all came together. So if you can get a complete offseason with a complete roster, I think you'll be, you know, defensively, you're going to be fine, because the head of the snake is still going to be there. You know, you're still going to have Jimmy. You're still going to have Bam. So if you got those two, I mean, hell, me and you could go out there.
I mean, at times they did.
Exactly.
Send Mario Chalmers off the street, for God's sake. All right, Tiff, 2 quick hitters and we get out of here. Yep. One, what do you want them to do with Victor Oladipo this offseason? They're kind of tight on cash.
I know we are. I know we are. I think that I want them to bring him back 100%.
What if it comes at the expense of PJ?
So this is how I feel about that. If you told me it comes at the expense of PJ and they add no one else,
I'll give you a 2-for-1 here, because my second question was about Caleb Martin. What if the choice was PJ or Caleb and Depot with whatever's left of the mid-level exception?
Oh, I'm easily giving it to Vic and
interesting
PJ. I'm easily giving it to Vic and PJ.
No. I'm saying Vic and Caleb or PJ.
Oh, Vic and Caleb or PJ.
Or PJ. With those, so Vic and Caleb split the MLE and then PJ, because they'd be hard capped.
Right. And we're not making any other moves.
I'm just telling you, just in that vacuum, because I don't know.
In that vacuum.
Because I ultimately think the decision with Vic and and Caleb is, or at least with Vic specifically, is going to come down to that.
Right. So this is going to sound real crazy.
Ooh, I love it.
But I feel like Pat got something up his sleeve. So
you're going to go with the bodies?
I'm going to go with PJ.
Oh, let's go. I love it. I love that.
For some reason, I think if that was something I had to do, I would have another ace. I would have another move to make. Because in reality, everybody wants a whale, which means you got to get you're trading Duncan and you're probably trading Tyler, right? That's the only way you can get what you need. If I'm getting a well, then essentially I'm probably good without Vic anyway.
Vic was a luxury last year that they ended up needing.
Yeah.
I don't think it shouldn't have ever got to that, but the injuries made it so.
Right. And he never had a chance to even get his body fully acclimated.
I'm not going to lie, Tiff. I think throughout the run of the playoffs, I'm not sure how much better Vic was than Gabe, but I know that Vic was a little more trusted on offense than Gabe. And I think that little subplot was interesting to me because I think obviously Vic is the higher end talent, but I just don't think that guy is who he is anymore, who he was anymore. And he'll have flashes, but I don't know if he can do that. And maybe, listen, he played 9 regular season games or something like that. So maybe with a full off season and a full season, he's going to look different. But, you know, I think there's a few question marks on Depot that I think are valid, but obviously he's an immense talent.
It's the offense. Well, the offense is the question.
And because he's dynamic on defense in a very special way.
Yeah, it's the offense.
It's the two-way dynamicism.
Right. But the offense is going to be the question, which is also kind of scary because if you resign him, you're resigning him based on like a hope that the offense can come back to somewhere where it used to be, because that's what you're doing, because you already know what you can get defensively. But if you bring him back, you're hoping that the offense can come somewhere close to what it used to be.
What it used to be in 2020.
Yeah, because you have to, like, because if you're bringing him in, then you're not bringing in like a tier one scorer to help Jimmy. Like, this is, you're bringing him back to be that scoring help.
They've gone so away from what made that offense so good, which was just a lot of movements and handoffs, and then Jimmy attacking seams created by that. They've just gone to a much heavier, more traditional pick and roll with movement. Like, the movement's off the pick and roll, or the movement is to get into pick and roll, rather when the movement used to be to get Bam rolling and a shooter moving.
Right.
So it's different. I think that's a really good point by you, and I don't know how they'd recreate kind of that level of success, but it's going to look different.
Right. I love Vic. I would like, and you know, and that's the sad thing, because I would like to see him, PJ, and Caleb back with the team. But realistically, to get better, you have to say bye to some people. Like, that's just,
because everyone's gonna come back with a raise.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make decisions.
Yeah. You know, and I also kind of feel like none of this matters because we know what they need, but we don't. But I think the key question is what do they think of Tyler, and what do they think he'll be able to give us when the season returns? And as Pat Riley said, you got to earn it. We're not giving it to you. So that's the question. Like, do they think he can be that guy next to Jimmy? Yeah, I know he gave us 20 points off the bench. I know. I don't like the phrase that he played starter minutes, because that kind of convolutes actually what really happened. Like, he didn't play all his minutes against starters, you know? So people kind of use that, which to me, it's kind of like, you're fudging your bet a little bit. Like, he's a good player, but like, is he that guy? We have no idea, because he hasn't been available in key moments in the playoffs for us to know whether or not he's that guy.
And it's hard to go off the rookie year, because guys, you know, can he recreate that? He did it this year. You know, we saw him do it against the Celtics specifically in the bubble, and then now, you know, was total no-show and then got hurt.
Yeah.
After his best season.
Yeah. So that's what it comes down to. Do we believe you can be that guy that catapults us to the finals next to Jimmy? Do we believe that you're going to come back and your defense is going to be good in such a way that you're going to win that starting spot? Because to me, if he's still on the team and he doesn't win that starting spot, that says something.
I really think, and we talked about this a little on the timeline, I really think that if he makes a stink of it, he'll get it which is probably not the best thing in the world.
And I think that's horrible. That says horrible things to the rest of the team, especially these guys who busted their ass and clearly probably outplayed him. But because he cried about it, he got the spot. Like, you know, like, let's be realistic what that looks like if we find out that that's
for
the case.
Sure. I mean, I think he's obviously like it's not also the winning the spot thing. I mean, he's obviously like a better basketball player than Max. It's what's best for the construct of the team.
And that's what I say to you.
So
all
he'll
the time.
He'll outplay Max. Right.
But does he play well? But see, it's not. And I keep telling people that it's not about him outplaying Max. It's that when they start doing those 5-on-5 runs, how does he look with the starters?
I don't even think it's that, Tiff. I just think they're better off. He's never going to be a plus defender. He's
no.
Just
well,
not...
we know. But we know that.
Yeah. So even if he competes on defense, like, he is who he is. I just think that the balance of ball handling to scoring with the starters makes more sense with him off. I think Max will always make more sense, even if Tyler indeed earns it. Like, because Tyler can walk in and earn it over Max. I mean, that's not the hard part. You know what I mean? It's is it the best thing for the team? And if he comes in and says, well, I outplayed this guy in camp and in preseason. I did everything you asked me to do. I should be the starter. Right. And if Spo is like, I really don't think that's the best thing for the team, but what are we going to do? Because he did. That would be a meritocracy of, okay, well, he earned it. And that's where I think it gets complicated. And I feel what you say because I'm with you. I just think it makes more sense for him to come off the bench. But I also get him saying, like, I don't want to come off the bench. I'm fucking.
No, I definitely I appreciate guys that want to, like, no, I want to start. But I will disagree with you and say we can't say hands down he'll go in and beat out Max. Like, we really.
I mean, he has the talent to do it, is what I'm saying.
But,
it's like, he should.
But he doesn't. Well,
if he doesn't, that's a problem.
But that's what I'm saying, G.
No, I'm
we know he can go put up 20 with his eyes closed. But there's two ends of the court, and that's the biggest problem.
But there's nothing he can do in my eyes to earn it over
and
Max.
And that's the reason why it all becomes weird.
It's not an earning thing for me. It's a what's
but
best
Pat's,
for
the... But it's an earning thing for Pat. Pat said he needs to go in and earn it.
I think
and
Pat
he wants it...
says that as fanfare at the end of the day.
Even if it's just fanfare, it should send a message to him that I need to work on this. You know,
no,
we
sure,
don't
yeah,
think he's going to be great, but like, but it does say something. Like, he's already said I deserve it, which I don't agree with. That sounded like privilege. You don't deserve it. The team deserves what's best for the team.
I think he certainly deserves it. I think he's a good player.
I don't think anybody deserves anything if you're coming out and just saying, I deserve it. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to get into the gym and hopefully things work out the way I think they should work out. You never go in and say, I deserve it. Because you deserved it, then you'd be a plus defender at the margins at least. Like, I'm sorry.
And
like,
he could turn around
you
and
do
say,
have to be fair.
He could turn around and say, like, well, it's not like Max is a stopper anyway. You know what
no,
I mean?
He's not. But also, Max didn't say, I deserve it. Gabe didn't say, I deserve more minutes. Like, sometimes it's okay to humble yourself, especially after you didn't look good against the Hawks and then you couldn't even stay healthy yet again. Like, it's okay to come in with your hat in your hand and be like, I got a lot of things to work on, because you do.
So right before we go, the Hawks are weighing a variety of scenarios as they pursue a John Collins trade in connection to Thursday's draft, a deal headlined by Collins and Sacramento's Harrison Barnes among Atlanta's prime options. Leaks.
Uh-oh, G.
Mark Stein reported that. So, uh-oh, me is correct. Hopefully tomorrow, Harrison Barnes is not a Hawk. Hey, you know, if Harry B's a Hawk, the dream is dead. Riley's asleep at the wheel. We go to the FTX Arena, and we demand some goddamn change over here. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. Tiff, thank you for doing this with me. Tomorrow,
thank you for having me.
The plan for draft night, guys, if you listen to this tomorrow or if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the plan for tomorrow's draft is a playback session. Hang out with us while we watch the draft. Normally, we've done an annual stream for the draft. Playback is really cool, so we want to use that platform to the best of our abilities. So as of right now, as of Wednesday, June 22nd at 8:55 p.m. Eastern time. The plan is to do a playback tomorrow. Barring some sort of change in logistics, that is the plan. So stay tuned for that. Follow our Twitter account. Earmark our playback. I'll put it in chat. Click that link. Save that link. That's our playback room. Getplayback.com/room/Miami Heat Beat. And we'll see you there around. We haven't decided if we're going to do the whole draft or from pick 15 on, you know, for the first round. We'll see. But, you know, stay tuned for updates on that. We will have the draft on the whole time anyway, so you could just go in and watch it on that platform. And we will see you tomorrow and for the rest of our offseason coverage. Let's go, baby. New, the second season, or the third season if the playoffs is the second season.
Let's go.